was Unreal 4. I think there was something you missed out about Lieutenant DeWitt.
Well, Lieutenant DeWitt used to be on patrols with us and his engineers. We used to go make our rendezvous at Menami Bridge, which had been blown up by Colonel Pattinson. And Major Jeffries, who was in the Q section of the 50 Column, had been made Brigade Major. And he was a great friend of DeWitt. One day he came up and he said to him, he says, John, you've got a price on your head from papers that we found. And it wasn't long after that he got wounded himself, DeWitt. And he was flown out over shrapnel in his backside, and it had entered into his lower gut. And he had 6 inches of his lower gut removed, and he survived. That was the main thing.
Now, your own personal story had got as far as Taypor Ferry. What happened to you after that?
Well, at Taypor Ferry, we were all getting down to our last legs. You know, some of them had lost a hell of a lot of weight. And, we were told that we'd be flown out. The only way that we'd be flown out would make our way up to Shadows Up, and the monsoons had just started. We'd made our way across the rivers and the flooded rivers, and we got to the other side, and we did make our way eventually to a roadway that led us up to Shadows Up. And then we was taken to a clearing where the C-47s came in and landed, and I took ill then. I took ill with the malaria. And he had a temperature of 103.6, I think it was. And I didn't know what day it was. Anyway, they took me and I went into hospital. I went into Panisola Hospital. That was the place also where they were. All the brigade was coming out then. And it was once I was in there that Major Wavell, that's Lord Wavell's son, had come in. He'd had his hand blown off with an hand grenade. And Lady Wavell and Lord Wavell used to come around the wards, seeing to all, talking to all the men, giving them beer, cans of beer. Now we're next to a bloke who lives in Sale, by the way, and I don't know his address, but he lost his right arm with an explosive bullet. Gangrene had set in, and he lost his arm. They asked for volunteers to give a blood transfusion. What happened was that I volunteered, and he told me that my blood was the right thing, but it wouldn't mix. So that was that. So that was just over a fortnight I was in. Just over 2 weeks I was in the hospital.
What was the name of the hospital?
Panitola. That's that boot there.
So it features in this book that published by the museum, The Maturing Son. Mm. Where is this hospital?
It's on the Lido Road. There's a script that they call Fury, F-U-R-Y.
What did you think of the treatment you got there?
Well, it was excellent. Really good it was. Well, I got discharged out of there, and they said I'd be sent back to the unit. So I'll go back to the clearing area, as they call it. Excuse me. And I was only out 3 days, and I took ill again. I went back in again into hospital, and they found out I'd got to a little bit dysentery. And I was in there 3 weeks, 5 weeks in all. Then I was sent up to Johat. That's on the Brahmaputra. I went into hospital there at Johat. And after about 3 weeks again, he said, "You're being moved back to India." And that was when I came to be on that boat. Hospital ships. One of the hospital ships. I think it was about 2.5 days on it. But we had pretty good meals on that ship. But that, the boats couldn't eat because they were that weak. And it tells you in there that she had pity, you know, she pitied a lot of them because they were all skin and bone.
This is the author, Angela Bolton.
Yeah. And she mentions the Lancashire Fusiliers in the last year. And what happened was that I was on the ship, on the boat, I should say, for 2.5 days. Then I was transferred by train into Calcutta. And I stayed in Calcutta for one night. And the following morning, we had an early breakfast. And they told us that we was going back. Our destination wasn't given to us, but we had tickets on. And it was all the different destinations where each man was going for. And apparently, I was one of the last. Now, I had to get off at Delhi. And the RTO, that's, you know, the transport officer, was seeing to me there. Anyway, when I arrived at Delhi, the RTO sent me and I got a meal at some kind of a canteen. And he said, "Stop here." He said, "I'll come back let you know when your train's ready." He said, "It'll be about an hour and a half before your train leaves." He said, "You're going to Dehradun." It's a semi-hill station, by the way.
This is for recuperation, was it?
The Italian POWs was there, you know. And they were looking after us. We had four to in the huts, long huts. They had sections split up into four, like into a small room. And there was four men to a room. And it was on the... I'd been there for about 5 days. And one morning I woke up, I was really ill. And the Italians used to bring a cup of tea around in the morning, you know, when we woke up. And our piper used to come in, blowing the valley. And he used to duck his head and run out. Because we threw boots at him.
Did the Italian POWs do their job properly?
Oh, they were excellent. They made some beautiful white bread for us. Set the tables out, put flowers on it, proper meals. But you couldn't eat it half the time. You know, you was that...
You had no appetite?
No. Well, you had an appetite, but you couldn't eat. I mean, food was... Anyway, eventually, you got it, you know, they built you up. And Italians used to come and see to you. They used to wake you up at 7 o'clock. And then you got breakfast. And you could have what you wanted for breakfast. Then at half past 10, you have tea and biscuits, which they used to bring. The POW used to bring. And then he'd say to you, you know, lunchtime. You'd have your lunch. And at half past 4, you had a sandwich and tea. And about 4 o'clock it would be. Half 3 to 4 o'clock. Then... you got your tea at 7. Yeah, his dinner, I should say, at 7. And of course, that was chicken and all the best of food that you could get. Was living like lords.
How long did it take you to recuperate?
It took a hell of a time with me. I finished off, I had hookworm. And hookworm, they found I'd got to hookworm, and malaria, and dysentery, maybe dysentery, bacillary dysentery, you know what I mean? And there was something else, and that Gloria something. It was a cyst of something. Anyway, I had a test for different things whilst I was out there. And as I was saying, this Italian that was looking after us sent for the ambulance, and the ambulance came and took me to the infirmary. So we had our own hospital there. And the Italian POWs was working in the hospital, was in the infirmary as well.
What did you think of the officers that you had in Burma when you were behind the lines?
Oh, some of them, they were great. Like Buckland and DeWitt, and Jeffries.
And how did your comrades behave?
Well, I don't know about the others, but all our lot was excellent. But they were all excellent. Even the sergeant, the platoon, it sounds funny this, but the platoon was given to the sergeant, the MM.
But were there any that couldn't take the hard conditions?
Well, there was, but they never let it, you know, they didn't let it be shown. When we first went in, it was that everything was tense, you know, until they got more or less acclimatised to them, you know, the surroundings and the conditions that they were under. But the morale was high. It was really high. The only time it took a dive was when Wingate was killed.
Do you remember getting the news of that?
Yes, I do. I was in the block at the time when the news came in. I'm not so sure now. I don't know. It was the 27th April. I'm not so sure of the day. I think it was the 27th of April when he was killed. The morale took a dive then, but after one or two defeats of the Japanese, the morale was high. And they were all saying then, well, we're going to stick by Wingate, no matter what. But we were badly let down by Slim.
In what way?
Well, it took 23 Brigade officers at the most vital point. And he turned round and he said, oh, well, he said, that's it for them. When Wingate was killed, he said. And then later on, he said, oh, let them fade away now. Let the Chindics fade away. That was it. And all the lads, when they heard about this, were all up in arms about him. Because he was very, very jealous of Wingate. And he'd let Wingate down previously to that, you know, when they were fighting in Addis Ababa.
Do you think it was all worthwhile, as far as you were concerned personally?
Oh, definitely. It was the start of the advance into Burma. And it was the main turning point was when they found the when they found the Japanese dump and it was all blown up. That was his big cry then. And we were stopping supplies really getting through up to the up to Mitch, you know. It was when we came out, 36th Brigade had taken over from us. They advanced down, but for some unknown reasons, Slim was holding tight with himself up in Infallum and come up and Kohima. He should have been advancing long before that. Instead, he took a rest. There was 150 men of the 1st King's Regiment was attached to us, because most of our men had been taken ill or wounded, and Sister Bolton had made a remark about the number of wounded and sick, and when she was taken down by boat towards Bombay, and what happened was that there's a main bridge going over the river with the railway, and Major Monteith was given the order to take this bridge, and the Japanese was well dug in on the other side. Someone had been previously told to go and have a look at this from the King's Regiment, and they came back and they said they couldn't see anything. So Major Monteith went there with some of the men. He walked on the bridge on a look at it, and he just turned around and walked away, and he got shot. And he let out a scream. No lament, tiptail, and all run away. And they said that the Lancashire Fusiliers had run away from a battle, which was wrong.
Who was it?
It was the First Kings. The men from the 1st King's Regiment, Liverpool Regiment. And
how did you hear about this?
Well, it wasn't far from where we was. And as a matter of fact, I met one of the men, and he was telling me all about it at the dinner this July.
Was he one of the ones who ran?
He was one of the men that ran away.
How did he explain it?
Well, I said, aren't you ashamed of yourself? And he just turned away and walked away from me. And, what was it now? It was wrote into one of the books that the Lancashire Fusiliers had tiptail and run away. I said, never. Anyway, there was a big inquiry made about it, and it all came out that the King's Regiment was to blame. Now, there was another instance where these same 150 men, they were making their way back to the flown out, and two of these men just dropped out, and of course Colonel Christie was leading the way. He didn't see them, he couldn't do anything about it. So anyway, they were sat at the side of the road, and some big American general, somebody, come walking up and started asking them questions. What were they doing here, and why wasn't it with the columns and one thing or another? But what happened was that they said they were with the Lancashire Fusiliers, which they were, you know, but technically they wasn't, because for the sole and simple reason is that they'd only been attached to the Lancashire Fusiliers. These two men turned around and said that they were with the Lancashire Fusiliers. But there was a letter sent to Michael Calvert, and it was a light stinker, and Calvert blew his lid about this.
Where was this bridge where Monteith was shot?
Mulgong. But this was after all the battle. These two men said they were fugitives. Well, they didn't say they were fugitives, they said they were with the Lancashire Fusiliers. And what happened was there, he waylaid into Colonel Christie. He never made any inquiries or anything, Coleman. And he went laid into a victim. There was a big inquiry made about it all later on, you know, it all came out. I'll tell you when it all came out. When that Brigadier, what's his name? Chindit Battle. When it was all. Was it Bridewell or Bridwell or something? Brigadier Bridewell, Bridwell or something like that. Anyway, it was in his book that the Lancashire Fusiliers run away. And it was that that set the ball rolling.
So it was a mistake.
That was it. And after that, by the way, there were six more decorations made.